This book is dedicated to the man I owe my career to, from the early days of the BBC filming Hunting Tower, The Long Way Home and The Silver Sword. A man who was instrumental to me getting the role of Jamie McCroom, the great Sean Sutton. BBC Audiobooks presents Doctor Who, The Evil of the Daleks, written and read by Fraser Hines. My name is James Robert McCrimmon, son of Donald, private to the Clan MacLaren, as was my father and his father before him. I was born in the village of Tulloch, on the banks of Loch Ruthven, in the Highlands of Scotland in 1724. I was 22 when I left my homelands, but how old am I now? I cannot say. There's nothing more to help me keep track. I am a traveller in time and space. Since I was taken from the lands where my kinsmen still fight against the Redcoats, I have seen places and peoples that no man of my time would ever believe. There are days when I scarcely believe the wonders that I have witnessed myself. I've been to the depths of space and seen cities beneath the sea. I've travelled to alien planets in the far future and fought Yeti in the foothills of the Himalayas. I've stood on the surface of the moon. All these things have made me more than I ever thought that I could be. My existence used to be a simple one. Eat, sleep, fight against the English. The confines of my world stretching no further than the sky above my head and the heather beneath my boots. My ambition little more than to live long enough to settle down with a bonny girl and sire a bairn or two. Now I knew just how small and insignificant my world had been. Before me stood the Doctor, the man responsible for my new life, although to describe him as just a man seems too small a thing somehow. He'd become more than just my mentor. He'd become a friend, and I would protect him as surely as if he was the Laird of the MacLarens himself. What I hadn't counted on was just how much protection would be needed, and from what? It seemed to me that for every wonder the Doctor showed me, there was a monster hiding in its shadow. Creatures that had no right walking the earth seemed to follow us wherever we landed. In the time I'd been with the Doctor, I'd fought giant crab monsters, fish people, icemen from Mars, aliens that could change their shape, even intelligent seaweed. Each one of them seemingly hell-bent on doing us harm. Next to the Doctor stood a wee slip of a girl in an outfit that no woman of my time would ever dream of wearing, but I quickly learned that it was best to just accept the strange fashions and customs of the times and places that we visited. The girl's name was Zoe Herriot, a scientist and an astro... Well, what does she call herself? Astrophysicist. She was from the 21st century and had just helped us in our most recent battle with the Cybermen. Evil machine men we seemed to run into wherever we went. Zoe had become curious about the TARDIS and wanted to come with us. I had hoped that the Doctor and I had managed to dissuade her, but I hadn't counted on her trying to stow away aboard the TARDIS. She hadn't exactly been stealthy about it, though, and the Doctor spotted her hiding in a wooden chest almost as soon as we stepped on board. "I want to go with you," she said, glaring at us with a look of defiance. "Ah, well, it's impossible," I replied firmly, looking at the Doctor for confirmation. But to my dismay, the Doctor waggled a finger at me disapprovingly. "Now, Jamie, it's not impossible. It's just something we have to decide, that's all." He turned and fixed Zoe with a piercing stare. "You may change your mind, you know." "No, I won't." Zoe stuck her chin out defiantly. "I'd give this for the girl. She had some fire in her." The Doctor's eyes narrowed. "I wonder..." He crossed to one of the circular indentations that covered the walls of the TARDIS console room and opened a hidden compartment, taking a small silver headpiece from inside. I watched him suspiciously. "What are you up to?" The Doctor glanced over at me, eyes full of mischief. "I'm going to show Zoe the sort of thing that she may be in for." He placed the silver crown on his head, looking for all the world like an old chieftain. Then he unfurled cables from underneath the console and attach them to the crown. "Zoe, I want you to watch the screen up there." He indicated the main TARDIS scanner. Vague, shadowy images started to appear on the screen, and Zoe nodded to herself. "Ah, yes, you're using that headset to tap into your thought patterns," she said.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?